What's going on, everybody? This is Mike Bennett and Mike Baker coming at you with another episode of the Google News Update. Today, we're going to have some three hot topics that we're going to be talking about. Good to have you, man.
That's how I get.
Yeah, man, that's how it is. I don't know why.
It just be like that sometimes.
But the topics we're going to be talking to you all about, and I one of them in particular definitely resonates with me a lot. The first one is the YouTube needs to chill with its annoying premium spam. The second one we're going to be covering is Google searches for Bitcoin spike after BTC prices hits a six-month low. Ooh. Mm. And the last one is, it's actually, this is a long title. So it's from the Business Insider. As Google's parent company, Alphabet, is getting back into robots, but this time it's using AI to create robots that can learn on their own. We already had several conversations about how I feel about that, but we'll get into that later, man. But this first article, YouTube needing to get some chill on this premium spam. I think this is, it's kind of self-explanatory, man. If you don't have YouTube, I don't even know what it's called because I skip it so much, like, since I think one time it's called YouTube Red, and I know you have like the Google Music and it's YouTube something else. I'm like, come on, bro. Like, I get it. You know, that you all are, and it's advertising. At the end of the day, you know, they have the platform, the door, they own it. You know, they get to do whatever they want. But after a while, it's like, I feel like this is slightly abusive because they know that people primarily go to YouTube, you know what I mean, for their video indulgences. You know what I mean? It's the second biggest search engine, I think, outside of just Google itself. Yeah. Although, you know, Google owns, you know, this is Google all over the place, right? But then, you know, it's like, come on, man, people don't really, if it was something that they just need to find another angle. You know what I mean? Maybe if they package it in something that they got coming out, I think that would benefit. But having it where it's all, you know, now they've moved them to, they kind of slipped it under our noses. People didn't catch it, but it used to only be one ad that would play, but now they got two, man. So you got like a 5-second one, then it's like 5-second one that can't be skipped, and then it's like another one that sometimes can be skipped, whatever the case is, these end streams. Yeah. And then it's like you have that, and it's like what's stacked on top of that is this daily push for like the YouTube premium services, when they try to dupe you into taking a survey for it. You know, they have like 5 questions or something like that. It's like, bro, I get it, but you know, people, do you have a lot of seasoned people that is on YouTube? You know, people who indulge in content, people who create content, right? And the people I come from the part of YouTube where it wasn't any advertising. You know, it was people. You know, it was in their humble beginnings. You know, so now we're in this advertising phase, and you know, of course, commerce has to always, you know, it drives everything. But I'm like, bro, like, what's the point? You know what I mean? What are we really trying to get to with this? Because, you know, you're already rich enough. You know, you're going to find more ways to make more revenue. And, yeah, it's good, but the return on the investment, I don't know. I don't really think it's as big as, you know, they probably promote it to be. I think it's like you don't have any ads and you can play music when you close it or something. But, bro,
I have the premium. I got the YouTube premium. I had about like maybe, actually like maybe about 5-6 years now, for real, for real.
Oh, wow.
Back when it was YouTube Red, like, yeah. So like YouTube did, they were non-ads for a while, and roughly around like what they used to call the recession, or like 2008, 2009, that's around the time that they started making advertisements like mandatory thing. It was because it was a major hit for everybody. So like all the businesses and all the areas started finding ways that they can monetize. And when it came to like the Silicon Valley people, the web services people, it was advertisement. So you started seeing ads coming up everywhere possible. Facebook started pushing ads on everything. YouTube definitely started pushing ads on all their videos. With this, they're talking about the YouTube premium. It's like you were saying, y'all, it's there's an issue with the marketing and like the message that they're trying to put out there, because it's like multiple people are talking and multiple people are having different messages. Like they have Google Music and then they have YouTube Music. Google Music is basically, and YouTube Music are two different apps that basically are for the same purpose. Like it doesn't make sense that they even have them in existence, except that they're under two different brands and under two different companies, essentially, because YouTube is its own company. It just happens to be owned by Google, and Google is its own company. And the apps themselves, they work completely different. Like, yeah, it's hilarious. Like the apps work completely different. When I first got YouTube Music, the reason I even got it was because, you know, YouTube Music was like it was cheap. It was like $9.99 at the time. And the main thing that they were pitching about that was that you could upload like 50,000 songs that you owned up into their cloud. And I basically had a whole like catalog of music that I was able to just put up in their cloud. And that was through Google Music. And like I said, that was like 2009, 2010. It was a while ago. But like, it wasn't until like maybe 2016, 2017 that they started actually promoting YouTube Music. And the idea was to actually ultimately, like they still have both apps, but ultimately what their plan is supposed to be is that they're going to push all this stuff from Google Music into YouTube Music.
To YouTube.
So what I'm hoping is that my collection of some 50,000 songs is still going to be transported over as well. Or else that's when I'll have a complaint, because my whole purpose was that you allow me to have my catalog of music along with the 30 million that you're going to offer me with the subscription, the music that I downloaded from the sources that I had, because I had like mixtapes and stuff that you can't find
in
their streaming services.
That's the key. Yeah.
And I was able to upload that stuff to the cloud. I was able to upload it there so that I could have it everywhere. Like this was like back with 3GS. I remember doing that stuff. I mean, like I could put it all up there and have it up there, and it was a good place to have it. And
you can't you can't do that no more, because I think I caught the wave late, because I was thinking about that. I have a bunch of like Lupe Fiasco mixtapes I want to hold on to.
They have an external app that you install on your computer, on your Windows machine. It's like Google Music Manager. And what that does is it take all the files that you have on your computer and it sends it up to your account so that you can listen to it on any of your devices anywhere you go. And like I'm sure that system is still available, because Google Music is still available, but they have not shown that they're integrating that into YouTube Music at all. And that's the part that everybody is sort of waiting for, because for like a year now they've been talking about, we're going to try to do one-to-one feature compatibility, meaning that we're going to try to make all the features that are in Google Music work in YouTube Music. And that hasn't happened yet. I mean, I still go back to Google Music, because not just for my old categories, but I feel like Google Music has better playlists and randomization playlists and stuff that they have. Mm-hmm. Google Music has a better one than YouTube Music. YouTube Music keeps giving me the same 10, 15 songs that I don't even care about no more. And like, I'll end up going back to Google Music because it has better algorithms. It just seems like a better system. It works more intuitive with what I like. YouTube Music looks pretty because it looks like Spotify, but it doesn't work like Spotify, and it's not as slick as Spotify.
Yeah, it's not some streaming service. It's Titan of a stream service. Not that, at least not yet. And then of course it's not as seasoned as Google Music.
Yeah, and I mean, I figure they're trying to do it for branding purposes, because YouTube is an entertainment company. Ultimately, they try to just, like they're a technology company, but they're trying to be in technology for entertainment purposes. So it makes sense to get the music business out of Google.
You should come out with a musical.
Talk about how great they are. Everybody hop on it for real. But like that's what they're trying to do, is essentially move the branding over there with it, but they got to move the actual functionality, the thing that we all paid for, to come along with it. YouTube Premium that part of it was just like a gimme that came along with it a while ago. Like when it first came out, like when YouTube, when Google Music came out, there was no addition of YouTube Premium. But like within a year or two later, they were like, all right, well, YouTube, you also get free ad-free YouTube. So you don't see any advertisements that go through. Whenever you want to play something, it just plays. You don't have to sit through that 5-second cut. You don't have to sit through that 15, 30-second cut. You just play it. Yeah, or longer from what I've, yeah, I see it. I see it when I'm at work, when I'm not logged into my personal account. I mean, I see how that happens to people. And even based on this advertisement, like, I mean, on this article, he got screenshots of all these different moments when ads keep popping up on them. And it's like, it does get annoying after a minute. And that's just on the app that he's showing it. That happens too on your desktop. If you go to YouTube, there's big advertisements everywhere talking about signing for premium. And I figured, I mean, they're trying to do this whole family plan thing. They're trying to, like, you know, Apple, what was it? Apple has their family plan with iCloud, and you know they just dropped this whole they have the Apple Music streaming where you can do like a family plan for Apple Music streaming. They have the family plan for Apple Arcade now. With my YouTube plan, my Google Music plan, my premium plan, essentially, I always had the ability to add up to 6 people on the plan, but like they want to make like these whole like home services plan, like get all these things and just pay one subscription fee.
New thing for companies, man. I think that Comcast kind of set the precedence for that though.
Yeah.
The whole family plan business.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. All, mobile plans, all of that stuff. They all try to do these like, you know, group shared plans. Like, you know, the whole family's going to be in on it anyway. So let's do it, because that's technically the old model. Yeah, you know, I mean, like if you got TV in your house for cable, you can get one for every room, for every TV essentially, and then the whole family benefits. But when it comes to this new digital era, everybody has to sort of have an account. And it's like, with an account, you can't keep sharing the same account. If you're trying to, like, they try to make money off of personalization. So, you know, you personalize the advertisement to who the person is. And if you got random people signing into the same account, you can't really organize the ad. Yeah. So they hope that you give your kid a Google account, you give your parent, whoever your significant other a Google account. And then everybody, and then they all feed into this family plan. And you can individualize advertisements that way. But at the same time, you get these benefits of these services. But for the people that aren't trying to pay into those services, it is starting to eat at their lunch and, well, eat at their ability to get information. Like, one of the biggest benefits of YouTube was the fact that it was an open, free way to get information. And now they're locking it down to be, it's a pay-to-play system. Like, the advertisements are annoying, but at the same time, they do want to make money. But like, how much money is enough money?
Yeah, that's like, what I was saying. Like, how much is it, bro? They already bringing in revenue. The fact, like, so if Google bought YouTube, you know, of course, we already know that the history of YouTube of Google. We talked about that, how, you know, they have already developed this extravagant, you know, revenue. They generated that from their advertising. It's like,
yeah.
What are we really aiming for here with the YouTube Premium? Because I can see if there's, you know, there's money to be made, but I feel like they push this thing as if they need it.
I think they do, though. I just thought about it. Part of it is the fact that they make 85% of their business off of advertisements, and the business of advertisement is what's going to get them caught up in legal situations with the government. Because they don't have any other major revenue sources besides just ads, now they're attempting to try to get people to be paid subscribers to things. Because if they're paid subscribers, then they don't have to be part of the ad system. And that way, then they can, because once you become a paid customer, technically, based on unwritten rules, they're not tracking your data anymore because you're a paying customer, so they don't need to track your data in the same way anymore.
They're not sending you ads. So.
Yeah, because they're not sending you ads, so they don't need to know that information about you. There's other things that they're tracking you on. You still got, you know, you got Google Maps and stuff like that. They're still tracking where your location is, but they don't need to feed an ad to you anymore because you're paying to not have ads pushed to you anymore. And essentially, they're trying to get out of that ad business because that's a business that's going to hurt them in the long run if that's the majority of their business. Particularly with like Facebook having their ad business running. Amazon has a major ad business because they sell nothing but retail. So they got all the products. I mean, they got all the products that need advertisement placement.
They sold products before they advertised.
Yeah, yeah. So like Google has to try to pull themselves out of being predominantly an ad company because they have so many other pieces of software that they offer that are currently free because of the fact that they make money off of ads.
That's so much. I mean, it's like, they sell merch, you know?
Yeah, ain't nobody buying that merch, man. I got like two shirts and like two keychains. All that stuff was just given to me for a free conference. I'm not about to go buy anything Google. They got my money already. You know what I'm talking about? They already got my money. Yeah, so like, I mean, I have a lot of stuff invested with Google, not necessarily like I got any funds, like any, you know, what, like stock or anything, but like I do a lot of work with Google platform stuff, and I definitely am a paying customer of Google's for YouTube music, YouTube TV. I don't pay my Comcast for television. I go to YouTube TV because of the same reason. I get to watch YouTube anywhere and I get to add six people to my subscription. I mean, so it allows for all of us to have television and make it so my parents' bill is cheaper. I pay for the bill. It helps everybody ultimately in the long run. But wow. Like they Google's always been bad at messaging, and YouTube is pretty bad at messaging for a company that spits out videos left and right. They're horrible at getting that message out.
Man, they should probably just have an advertisement talking about it. I have yet to see a video ad about YouTube Premium.
You know what they need, right?
Well, hey, what do they need?
They need a musical. That's what they need. They need a musical.
Bro, I lose all respect for YouTube. I don't know, man. They're in the lane of content creators. So, you know, I get it.
YouTube in itself, I'm trying to figure out what their ultimate goal is because, you know, they started off just being the you know, community of video uploaders. And I mean, now they basically are dominating television. So it's like, what is their real plan to do? Are they just trying to become the new television platform? Or are they trying to create a new means for like viewership or whatever? Like, is it just a whole new thing, or are they just trying to be the dominators of the old thing?
It's a question. Well, yeah, man. Maybe kind of hit that pretty hard, man. Let's go to the next topic, man. Says Google Bitcoin. Searches for Bitcoin spike after BTC price hit 6-month lows. I think this is, and it's funny today with you know, this concerning Google. So, you know, Google is actually, I think, didn't we say, we read the article, I think either in 20 or 2021, they're giving checking accounts out, right?
They're starting a bank.
Bitcoin. So it's like, I think this is, this kind of runs hand in hand, man. I think there's nothing ironic about Google being at the forefront of searches when it comes to Bitcoin, everything around cryptocurrency. That they're gonna, from my humble but honest opinion, they're gonna be heavily involved in cryptocurrency when they jump into the banking sector full on, right?
But, definitely not.
I mean, just talk about it. I mean, as far as Bitcoin goes, man, we knew that coming into this thing. We came from that time where everyone kind of had an opportunity to invest in Bitcoin when it was only like 50 cent or like 40 cent or something like that. And then they went through that fluctuation stage when stuff was like almost $20,000. But now it's down at its lowest it's been within the past 6 months, man. What do you think that's a signal of, Mike?
I mean, I feel like it's a signal of people actually learning more about what Bitcoin is versus what the idea, what cryptocurrency, what Bitcoin is as a company or as an entity or as a thing versus what cryptocurrency is in general versus the larger thing that they always talk about, which is blockchain. And how they all individually play out. And I feel like this is people actually learning now and making decisions on it, because for a while people didn't know what Bitcoin was. They just knew people were putting money in it and yeah. people were getting money out, and they were getting way more money out than they were putting in. And that was the big thing that sort of made it have its bubble in the first place, was like I put in a dollar and I made $50, and a lot of people that had a lot of dollars was like, yeah, I'm gonna put my dollars into it, and I made myself a couple exponentially $50 more. And then what happened was, at that time, was like all they really wanted to do was put their money in the system so that they can pull it out, and when they pulled it out, it all collapsed, which is what they weren't supposed to do. Like, if you like, people were just trying to get rich, and the whole point of Bitcoin was to actually like feed the system and start paying with Bitcoin.
Right,
like, exactly. people were supposed to put your money in there and then start buying stuff using Bitcoin, not just put it in there, wait till it got high enough, and then pull your money back out and come back with cash. They wanted people to ultimately just use Bitcoin, and nobody really was ever using Bitcoin. It was hard to really find. Like you said, they have those ATMs everywhere that you can use them, but it wasn't adopted enough. And when people start finding out, like, there's all these different forms of cryptocurrency, there was like, well, which one do I get into? Like, oh, Ethereum is about to be next one. Oh, look, there's this is it's a clone of Ethereum, but it's not really Ethereum. It's like they call it Ether L or some shit. Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, all these crazy names for these different alternative coins, and like people were just lost in what was all happening, and particularly like company, like entities, like governments, in particular like China. They definitely had decided, you know, we're gonna go all in on Bitcoin, but we're gonna start mining for Bitcoin at a higher rate, and we're gonna be the ones that dominate with this coin. And that sort of, I mean, it works for their economy, because they've been on like digital payments way before we were. We're paying with your cell phone. Just paying through cell phone transactions, like, you know, alternative to like a PayPal or whatever, but actually like doing the swipe to pay type thing. That was definitely happening in China before it was happening here, just because the way that their economy works, it allowed for it to happen. It allowed for it to flourish. It's
structured that way. Yeah.
Yeah. The government adopted it. They didn't fight against it. They pushed it in, and, you know, because their government is so dominant amongst its people on how they deal with their people, when they say something happens, it happens, and everybody follows suit. I mean, there is no debate. There is no like there is now, like what's happening it's not mainland China, it's in Hong Kong. But all the stuff that's happening with their protests and stuff like that, that's one of the rare cases of protests to happen in China. Like the last thing before that would be like, the last thing before that was the tank man incident, when he ran in front of the tank. It was like, yo, stop driving or whatever. like it don't really happen like that. Like protests and free speech and stuff like that don't really happen in China in the same way. But like, they had the dominance of Bitcoin. I don't know what's going to happen with the idea of cryptocurrency, particularly like, you know, Facebook had their Libra coin situation.
Yeah. Like
they had 20 people invested. They had 20 companies invested, and then like 28 companies invested, and then I say 20 came out. Basically a dead deal. It's dead on arrival type thing. So like what would probably happen is that countries have to get involved. Like the US government would have to get involved. I mean, the banks would have to get involved. And it's hard pressed to actually see that happening right now because of what it costs to actually run bit mining operations or Bitcoin operations, the servers and all of that. It costs a lot. I can see in a couple of years when they figure out this whole quantum computing thing, because you know quantum computing is supposed to be the answer to be all the processing, because you need these supercomputers to be able to process all the numbers. So those quantum computers are there for it. They just got to get them ready to be able to do that.
You gotta perfect them, man. You gotta get them ready. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think this whole thing with the blockchain, bro, it's had its bubble stages, but I think it's legitimately here to stay. And a part of that staple as to why, as like what you said with China, they are the leading investors in Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you think about a country that is big as that, 1.1 billion people that are like backed by, let's say that, you know, we get to an era where everything is digital now. That whole country is backed by Bitcoin now. You know, that changes the game for a lot of things. So I think people are the awareness of with just different cryptocurrency is starting to raise some in different communities. And I think that because people are starting to see, it could be, you know, digging a little bit deeper too, that some people they are believing that by a certain period of time, the US dollar would no longer be worth anything. So, mm-hmm. you know, maybe they look at this as an opportunity of, okay, there's some type of unit of commerce that is worth investing and worth having. Let's invest in it before the ultimate crash comes, where America is officially declared bankrupt.
It's ultimately, it would have to be similar to what they have now, where each country has their own currency, and then each country has their own digital currency, and then each digital currency can communicate with the other country's currency so that they can do proper exchanges. Because that's one of the main things, is doing the exchanges. Because I don't have any one coin or one currency dominating the world, because that's just not how the world works. But for all the currencies to be able to communicate with each other for transaction purposes, that's the key, is that no matter what coin I have, is my coin backed by at least some government entity, and can I transfer that coin into whatever other coin that I need? Right now, that's not the case, and it's not going to be the case for a while until those banks really start investing.
Really started getting it.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, let's jump into this last article, man. I think it's definitely even more controversial than what we were just talking about. It's Google's parent company, Alphabet, is getting back into robots. So they were there before. It says, but this time it's using AI. Oh, it's using AI to create robots that can learn on their own. So, you know, I think we probably talk about this, if not every episode, every other episode, bro. But this idea of AI, of robots teaching themselves, man, is something that we really need to be prepared for. And I think a lot of people jump into this, and maybe, you know, and I say people, I'm talking about the people in these the higher ups. And these companies jump into this, we really don't know like the ramifications of when you create something that's able to be self-sustained, that doesn't need what a human needs to survive, it can pose as some type of threat in the future. You see what I'm saying? Because one thing that, I gotta go deeper here, right? Like one thing I can say as far as all of the living organisms on the planet is that the most destructive one is the human being, right? Yeah. You know what I mean? It's the most destructive, and because we have the ability to question, you know what I mean? We have the biological imperative to know why and how, and because of that, there's a trifecta. This is quality assurance that we go through where things are destroyed, whether it be through civilizations, whether, you know, on a smaller scale or on a bigger scale, you know what I mean? And when you give liberty to something that is not human to start acting as if a human dog or processing things with a consciousness is able to feel and able to rationalize things. I believe that you can, it poses as a threat to the livelihood of humanity, because the only thing that keeps us here is this innate desire, this, you know, for us to continue to thrive and grow forward, but it can be volatile. And that type of volatile state, you know, maybe for, you know, another consciousness that it has been born to look at it, you know, and observe it, may deem it that is not good for the planet. You know what I mean? I think, and again, so I feel like this is much more deeper than probably what even the article is going into. But, you know, again, the idea, I forgot the name of the game, but they were talking about how it took maybe about 10,000, the type of processing and information that it would take to gain, for human being to gain over the course of like 10,000 years, it was able to do it in like a minute. What was that game? You remember, Mike?
It took 10,000 years. I mean, it wasn't a game. It was the quantum computing thing.
It was a quantum computing. Okay.
Yeah. Cool, yeah. Cool. So the algorithms that they were able to give the quantum computer, it would have took 10,000 years for any traditional computer to do. It was able to do it in like 3.5 minutes. Yeah. Yeah.
You think about that level of processing of just information being put into something that's able to rationalize or come up with the concept of what's right and what's wrong.
Yeah, you give something 10,000 years worth of information and it's able to sift through 10,000 years specific data, like specifically, like it's not like, let me think about it and try to remember parts of details of things. It's remembering all the information of 10,000 years worth and coming up with a result in like 3.5 minutes or even faster. Even, I mean, all right, let's not do 10,000 years. Let's do 1,000 years worth of information and is able to come up with it in a second. Well, yeah, so I mean, yeah. like that's retarded. It's unattainable. Like this. I mean, we've already concluded that if we are able to make machines smart enough that they'll realize they don't need us. Like that's been the ultimate thing about every robot future movie, AI, anything is about a machine getting so smart that it realizes, you know what, I'm better than y'all. why do I need y'all? Y'all serve a purpose. And like even with like the Matrix, when they had the, I don't know if anybody ever seen like the Animatrix and stuff like that, where it talks about the process of how humans came from being a civilization using technology and robots, and how they took over, like the transition and the war that happened and stuff and all that stuff. Like it's too obvious of an answer that if you have something that is this smart, that is gonna, you think it's really gonna be subservient to people.
It's going to continue to be subject, you know, like willingly subjugated by something that they deem inferior.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. By all means, we intentionally create this thing to be superior than us, and then we think it's going to be subservient to us. Like, and I mean, we try to give it like trivial jobs. So like with this Google article, like they're talking about the fact that they got these robots and that they're going to start feeding them artificial intelligence. Like in a way, we already give them artificial intelligence, but it's pattern intelligence. It's the stuff like systems like Roombas and whatnot, where they're able to make sure that it maps a whole room and it vacuums the whole floor and it doesn't miss a spot, and like it does it on its own. That's small level intelligence. But with things like Google Cloud and having all those data centers and having quantum computers and having an internet where one robot can easily tap into a data center of some 100,000 machines, right, and essentially have a brain over there and be able to do whatever little task it is needs to be done over here. Like right now, like with this picture, it's showing them separating plastics from paper in a recycling location. Eventually, like just that level of decision making, that's trivial but it's about the learning process. And like, if we essentially are creating these things to continuously learn from time to time over, and then we start giving it more things to learn, it doesn't make sense of why. I mean, like, at best, just don't give these things like arms and legs. Like, and we do that to a point now. Like, they got Boston Dynamics that's doing that, but like, you can't merge the two, because that's always been my fear. Like, Boston Dynamics is doing crazy stuff with robots, but then Google's over here doing crazy stuff with artificial intelligence. Now, if those two merge up, then we got a problem. And that's where I'm scared of, because I don't want no robot walking up to my door. I will lay it down. I got like a shock for it. I've been planning on
the EMPs around, man.
No, I've been planning for the robotic Armageddon since 91, bro, since Terminator 2. I didn't take T-1000 as a joke, bro. I was really? Like, yo, this is really happening. This is gonna it's happen.
Real life, man.
I mean, like, we passed 2016, so you know that bomb ain't go off, but
right.
We still not far off. We still coming toward this whole robotics and AI thing, no problem.
Hey, bro, I'm looking at, like, so a part of the article stuck out to me, like what you're talking about, man, which as far as giving the AI to learn, it just says here, it says possible, who quoted this? I forgot who quoted this, but it says it's possible for robots to learn how to perform new tasks in the real world, just through practice, right? So I mean, like, you mean, then it says, rather than having engineers hand code every new task, exception, and improvement. So I mean, let's say new tasks, exception, improvement, it's talking about being able to learn from the errors in mix, like really giving it confidence. And this says here, the robots can learn by observing human demonstrations and by shared experiences. Now that last part, shared experiences, is key. You see what I'm saying? Because you have different robots is able to have, you know, again, different experiences, and the way that they process those experiences separately, you know, from a different machine is much faster than how if me and you were to process information, you know, because what we have to do, even though we speak the same language, you have to get through, you know, the language barrier, right? As far as like me understanding what you're saying.
Yeah, translate it to you.
There's an intuitive level, like that how we communicate as human beings that we have to catch on to, which it helps us, and then it can harm us in some ways if it comes to like catching on to things quickly, right? Mm-hmm. But when you think about AI, I don't think they have that issue. You see what I'm saying? Because it's ones and zeros.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you see
what I'm saying? And even more, like they're basically the same system. It's not like they're more like the Borg than humans. I mean, it's like, you know. You grow up, you got your own learning experience, and I have my own learning experience, and the only thing that we can do to translate that learning experience between each other is to communicate verbally or through written language or whatever like that. Like, they have the same learning, they have like the same programming, and all they have to do is essentially download a file from each other. And all of it's stored up at some central server somewhere, so it's holding all of them, and then 10,000 robots learn 10,000 different things. It all goes up to the cloud. It right, creates a new thing. And then it sends down the AI to all 10,000 of them. And now they all learned the new 10 new things from each other. All 10,000 of them all learned 10,000 new things at once. And they all have become more advanced from that quick. I mean, it's not computers, it's not science fiction anymore.
It's not
it's science fact. Like, I mean, looking at these robots, they look like Johnny Fives in a way. And like they got the connects on their head, so you know that they can read and they can see things in 3D. Like, it's not far off. Like, I'm starting to get disgusted, actually, just looking more at it. Every time I look at it and think, I'm starting to get real disgusted by it.
I can see Elon Musk, his position of like kind of taking a stance against the traditional pathway that the AI was on, given the you know, the technological diabolic people. You know what I mean? Feeling like it's just not really caring, they just want to see what happens with, you know, not thinking about the repercussions. But
yeah, man,
it's something that's definitely, I think, we got to look at, man, because the only question I would then have is like, what do you do? It's not about how, so the question I have at this point, because we already see the trajectory this is on, is like, what do we do? It's not how do we prepare as human beings? This is like, what does a human being have to become?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it comes again with regulation and stuff like that. But even then, it's regulation, but then it's competition. Because if we, if America chooses to regulate and say that we won't allow computers to go beyond a certain point, and they won't be able, we won't allow companies to create machines that can do certain things beyond a certain point. But then another country like China says, no, we let our machines run rampant, man. We got walking, talking babysitters. Yeah, I mean, like they going for our groceries and all of that. Like once that competition happens, it's gonna be like a state of play, like who has the power. And we see a video of them walking around, like giving their robots high fives and like doing all crazy, like living one to one with their robots. America's gonna make that attempt to do the same. And even if, and I mean, like things like warfare, like we already use simple stuff like drones, like remote controlled drones to send bombs into random locations. So like, if we start having like walking, talking, or even rolling on wheels, like say Johnny Five, I believe in Johnny Five. Like you ever see Short Circuit, like the old 1980s Short Circuit one and two with Johnny Five? Like if they have them things out, and out here in the real world with AI, it's going to be a real problem for society. You know what I mean, because they're going to start doing things indiscriminately. They're going to just start taking people out indiscriminately. Like, how do you identify what is human problem versus a ally? Like, I got this stuff going way too far before we ever pull back. And even though we're attempting to pull back now, I feel like somewhere, some military sense, we're going to start using robots in warfare, and it's going to be too late before we start regulating. Yeah, some major shit is going to happen, and then we're going to be like, oh shit, we got a real problem with these robots.
We didn't know. Like, you knew, you just didn't think that it would come this fast or that it would hit this hard.
Yeah, that this AI was smart enough. Like, because you know they do the logs and stuff. Like, they'd be like, they'll send like some SWAT AI, like instead of a SWAT team, instead of like SEAL Team 6, they send like AI Team 6 in. Yeah, I mean, and they all go in there and clear the scene. I mean, but then they decide to also like kill a civilian that was needed for a discreet purpose. Like, say, I don't know, some random shit, some fucking 24 shit with Kiefer Sutherland. I mean, they gotta save the president. They use some AI to save the president or some shit, and then the AI decides, I'm gonna kill the president. Fuck. Right. I mean,
it is.
But it's all theory, bro. It's all theory.
we got that tangent, man. Who knows, right? We only thing we can go off of is, you know, the movies, man. But one of the keys that I remember, because I do read a lot of books, like they talk about how where the human mind is, they can never imagine something that either can exist or that hasn't existed. So, I mean, coming up with these things in our mind is projecting these realities. It's like, maybe it's either existing, has existed before, or maybe it's coming into existence.
Yeah, it's I feel like it's one of those things that we everything that we build ourselves into it. And what I'm scared of is that as we build these AIs, we build, you know, their biases, our human nature for violence, for like predatory instinct, we build those into these systems. And that's the potential problem there.
That's the problem. It's the biggest problem. So, I mean, this article, it's a thumb up and a thumb down for me. You know what I mean?
Thumbs up for the article. Thumb down for believing that it's a positive thing. Yeah.
Alphabet need to do better, man. You wake up.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much all we got, man. I mean, I have, that's all I have, man. Do you have anything else to add, Mike? Or
no, I really just want y'all to go ahead and follow, subscribe, and listen to these podcasts. We definitely appreciate all the people that are following right now. You can definitely find us on all the resources. I appreciate any feedback that we have from it. That's the number one thing. We got more stuff coming for you, so I'm all ready for that.
More of that hot ass news coming your way.
Some more of that hot ass news coming your way.
Yeah, man. You can catch us on all the social media channels, man. All of the your podcast platforms, man. Remember to like, comment, subscribe, leave a comment below. Let us know what you think, man. But that's it for the Google News update for this week, man. Y'all take care.
Yeah, man. Take it easy out there.
Peace.